Good to see each of you this morning. If you have your Bible, if you'll be turning to Genesis chapter 2, that's where we'll begin our study. While you're getting settled and getting your Bibles, we want to welcome each of you, especially our visitors, encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In the book of Genesis and the second chapter, if you would, look with me at verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Then, if you have your Bible, if you will, turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy and the fourth chapter. In the book of Deuteronomy and the fourth chapter, notice the words of Moses to the nation as he is commanding obedience of the people. In verse 9, he said, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, 'Gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, and they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and they may teach their children.'" You know, there are a lot of questions in life that are very important to us. You'll find there are many issues that face each of us. And when you go about, you'll find people have different questions. It seems in every age, we have some issues that arise. You'll find there are some people today who still question, what's going to happen to this nation of ours? Will we ever be attacked again like we were on September 11, 2001? And if so, how will that attack come? Then you'll find others that are concerned about this nation. Will we even be involved in another war and many lives lost? And you'll find that many today are talking about political issues, like will the law that has been passed by the Supreme Court or laws that have been overturned, how will that affect Christians and the decisions handed down? But you know, there's one thing I want to bring to your mind this morning. Though each of those issues are important, there's one issue that I hear a lot about. When I go to conduct gospel meetings and I'm talking with people, there's one question that seems to be asked in every age. And that is, what's happening to the home life? And I've heard some people ask, can the family be saved? You know, there are sharp and loud voices that are crying out for the home life to end as we know it. And many are saying that the family life as we know it will be gone in a short time. And so this morning, I want to raise a question because I believe it's important to every individual here. I believe it should be important to a local church. I believe it's a major issue not only of Bedford County and not only the state of Tennessee and not only this country, but I believe it's an issue that should face everyone globally. And that is, can the family be saved? What I want to do is for a few moments of our time, look at what God has to say in regard to the home life. And just raise a question. Can the family life, the home life of every individual here be saved? The first thing I want us to do is look back in the book of Genesis and the second chapter. And when you come to the book of Genesis and the second chapter, look, if you will, at verse 24. In Genesis chapter 2, and look at verse 24 again, notice the home as God intended. God made a plan, and He said that a man was to leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they become one flesh. Without any question, without any doubt, and without any controversy, the oldest institution in the Bible, even older than governments and the church, is the home life. As Brother Danny prayed in his prayer a few moments ago, this is a divine institution ordained by God for the well-being of His people. And in Genesis chapter 2, you see in very plain words that God had intended a man and a woman to be joined. And notice, my friend, He says that a man is to be left his father and mother and joined to his wife. That eliminates homosexual marriage. That eliminates any other kind except a man and a woman. That is God's plan for the home. That is how God ordained it. Now, individuals may want to argue with it. Individuals may not like it, but that is God's will. So God has ordained a plan. And God has given an institution for man. Now you can read from the book of Genesis and read through the Bible, and you'll find that different laws and dispensations existed. And yet, my friend, when you still look at how God originated the home life, you'll see the principle is still there. God expects man and woman to be joined. Now, that does not mean it's a sin if one does not marry. One has that option. But I do want you to recognize that God has given individuals an option to marry, man and woman. But that brings up a second thought. That's how God intended it. I grant you that in many ways, people have very little regard for what God has to say about the family. And yet, when you read the Bible, you'll find the way God intended for the sexual behavior between men and women is in that realm of marriage. Open your Bible to the Hebrew letter and the 13th chapter. When you come to the Hebrew letter and the 13th chapter, you'll find the Hebrew writer brings something out in verse 4. In verse 4, he said, marriage is honorable among all. I want you to understand that is a God-ordained institution. And so God said that marriage is honorable. One does not have to marry. One is not sinning if they decide to remain single. And yet at the same time, if one decides to marry, God accepts that relationship and says that's honorable in His sight. But understand that God does not accept sexual relationship outside the marriage bed. Because in verse 4, He said, marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. God is the one who set that law. Now, individuals today mock that law. They belittle that law. They say they're enlightened and that individuals should just go out and enjoy what they want to do. And yet God said that that marriage, that relationship is saved for the marriage. That is God's plan. Now, people can belittle it and mock it, and yet you see God's wisdom in that. And so God intended for individuals to be engaged in that relationship to have a committed relationship. They're to be glued together, bonded together. They become one flesh. And that is the way God intended for children to be born, with a mother and a father. When you take away one, that takes away something God wanted every child to have, a father and a mother. Then when you think about Cain and Abel and Seth being born of Adam and Eve, they came when they'd been joined together. But that brings up a third thought. These are some of the things we recognize as God's plan. But when you think about the family, have you ever stopped to think God has given principles of the family? And God has given divine precepts to guide the family. And you want to know something, my friend? I believe this wholeheartedly. I believe if man and women follow the divine precepts of God, I believe the home life would be a happier place. I believe what's happened in so many places is individuals have left the divine path. And when you leave the pattern from the Creator, I'll tell you what you have. You have trouble. You ever notice God's given us an instruction book? You know, sometimes my boys will get toys, and they come with a book like this. And half of them, Mary's already smiling because she knows I don't like to read all the instructions. And so I'll start putting something together, and I'm flipping through it, and it doesn't look anything like it did in the front cover. You know why? I skip pages 2 through 6. And I just did here, and I did here. And you know what happened? That whole thing falls apart. And here she comes. Well, did you do this? Do that? And sometimes, you know what the boys say? Mama, will you help us put it together? And that kind of hurts Daddy's feelings. But you know something? People do that with God's Word. God has given us His Word. He's given us His precept. He's given us His command. And then when we don't follow His Word as the Creator, giving us His divine precept and His divine pattern, and then when everything falls apart, we say, what happens? And we've been skipping what He's told us to do. We've been not following His pattern. We've not been following His precept. And then the whole thing crumbles, and we look around, and we don't understand why. So God has given us divine principles to guide us. And I want to tell you the first principle is every individual in the home life needs Christ. I want to tell you, my friend, the husband needs Christ, the wife needs Christ, the children need Christ. And I want to tell you, my friend, in family, some families will even be divided. And God said that would be the case because people don't have Christ. But if the family is going to be what God wants it to be, if the family is going to be a family that finds harmony, it needs to have a family that puts Christ first. Not use Christ or use religion or use God to get their way, but they put Christ first and they're a humble servant of Christ. Now then, look at some of the precepts of the home life. If you have your Bible, notice, if you will, in the Ephesian letter and the 5th chapter, God gave a principle. And I recognize it's fallen out of favor. And I recognize many will object. And yet, notice, this is God's plan. In Ephesians 5:23, he says the husband is the head of the wife, is Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Now, a husband is to give honor to his wife. And a husband is to do so by leading the family. Notice he doesn't rule the family with a dictator fist, but he leads the family spiritually. He is to be the head of the house. He's to make the spiritual decision. He's to lead the family. Now, my friend, if the husband's not leading and the husband's not doing, you've already got a problem. And many times, I'll tell you what happens. A husband's not being the spiritual leader, and that puts it on the wife, and you're already out of kilter. That's God's plan, that the man be the leader in the home. I want to ask you fathers and husbands something. Do you ever take time to lead your family in Bible study? Do you ever take time to lead your family in prayer? And do you do so in a way that will conduct them to love the Lord and that you show your love for the Lord? I tell you, God pity the family that the only time they ever hear their father pray or they ever see their father study is when he's in the building here. And I want to tell you that a lot of families need to see the husband is to lead. But then I want you to take note, he's to give honor to his wife in every phase. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, look at what the Apostle Peter had to say. In verse 7, he says something to husbands we ought to take to heart. Husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. Now I want you to notice that. As to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I want to tell you that a husband is to dwell with his wife with understanding. He doesn't try to provoke her. He doesn't try to incite her. Every time I read that, I remember when Mary and I were first married. And I quoted something about her being submissive. And she said, well, you're supposed to dwell with me according to understanding. I said, that's the problem. I don't understand you. That's not what Peter's talking about. Peter's talking about that you dwell with them, giving honor to them. Have you ever thought that if you cherish your wife, you won't do things to cause issues in the home, but you honor her as Christ loved the church? You ever thought about how they treated Christ? Before they ever put him, before the church began, what did the people do that eventually became part of the church? Some of them had put him on a cross. And when you think about it, they nailed him to a cross, and then in Acts 2, many of them became his people. They were baptized. I want you to think about the kind of love Jesus has for his people. And then he tells husbands, you love your wife like that. I want to tell you, that's a strong command. I want to tell you, that's a stout demand. And what often happens is we get in problems. I've had people come to me, say, preacher, the problem is I don't love my wife anymore. I remember one time hearing another preacher, they said that to, and he looked at him and said, well, you need to repent. And he said, I don't think you understand. He said, the feeling's gone. He said, that's not what you said. You said you don't love her. Love is a verb. Love is an action. Love's not the feeling. The feeling is the fruit of love. So often, we confuse love with the feeling. It's the same with faith. We confuse faith with facts. What I do is I need to take God's word, put my faith in the facts, then I have a good feeling. What I need to do in the home life is love my wife, love my children, and the feeling will result. But I'll tell you what often happens. We become so selfish and so self-absorbed, we want the feeling without putting in the action. And I want to tell you, the feeling sometimes goes. But when you put the action in and you treat them as you're supposed to treat them, and you show them compassion and you show them genuine kindness and you do things for them, the feeling will come back. That's a problem. So often we look for the feeling and not for the action. But then if you have your Bible, notice something else. When you think about it, a husband's to provide for his wife. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Timothy and notice what the Apostle Paul had to say. When the Apostle Paul was writing, he said that husbands are to provide. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, look, if you will, at verse 6. In 1 Timothy 5, and notice the statement he says, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So I am to provide for my family. So husbands, if I'm doing my part, I can do that which will help the family grow. I can help the family be stable. I to lead the family. I make decisions that will help my family. But then that brings up the why. Have you ever noticed God's given principles not only to the wives, He's given principles to the husband. Wives, He said, are to be helpmates. They're to be helpmeets. They're to be there for their husband. Open your Bible and look in the book of Genesis in the second chapter. You'll find that He said that a man is to leave his father and mother and be cleaved to his wife. They become one. Then you remember in Genesis chapter 3, you remember after the fall, what did God say to Eve? He said, you're to be his helper. Even before that, she was made to be his helper in Genesis 2. That is not anything but God looking down and seeing that here is a man that needed help and he made woman. That's the wisdom of God. And if the home life's going to be what it's going to be, then a woman needs to be one who helps her man. Not at war with him. And I want to tell you something in love and humility. We need to get back to men being men and women being women. I have seen people try to erase genders. That's not how God made us. It doesn't make one inferior because he's a man, and it doesn't make one inferior because she's a woman. God has just given us different roles. And this thought that we just need to be a genderless country is a false concept and it doesn't come from God. God has made us to be what He has made us to be, and therefore we need to live up to the roles God has given us. And He has told women they have a role, and He's told man he has a role. That doesn't mean one's inferior and one's superior. What it means is you live out the role God has given you. You want to know why nations are crumbling and the home life's falling apart? People aren't living up to the role God has assigned them. Sometimes we want to be something we're not supposed to be, and God says, no, you live up to the role. Now then, when you think about the wife, what is she supposed to do? She lovingly submits. And if her husband loves as Christ loved the church, she's not going to have a problem doing her role. Ever thought if we all did the role God has given us, the home life would be a better place, would it not? Now, I want to tell you a third thing about that. That doesn't mean you won't have fusses. Now, I've heard some preachers get up and say they've never had a fuss. I'll tell you, that's not true of me. We've had our fusses. We've had our quarrels. And sometimes I even start one just to have one. And I'll tell you something. I'll never forget a man told me that he and his wife have never had a fuss. I'll never forget him saying that. And I thought, how is... And I learned why. He never talks. I finally learned that was his secret. He never talked. And I just looked at him. I said, my marriage ain't that boring. I fuss sometimes. But I want to tell you something about it. That doesn't mean you don't love. You work through. But that brings up a third thing. Children have a role. What did He say in the book of Deuteronomy, He said that you teach your children and your grandchildren. They must be taught to respect their parents, to respect God above all. Put God and Jesus first. And I try to instill into my sons that even if their mother and father do wrong, they do what God says. And I think that we need to teach our children to put God first. Not just give them education, not just give them money. They need to be taught about Christ. And if the home life is going to be saved, then the husband, the wife, and the children are all going to understand God comes first. And that'll do away with a lot of the attitudes of the day, the attitudes of this trial marriage. We have had these and seen this in the past few years, and it's what a failure to watch, where people just say, give it a try. It's based on Hollywood's marriages. Try it. If it doesn't work, just get out of it and try another one. I want to tell you, my friend, that's not according to God's plan. And I tell you what we've taught. We've taught a lot of our young people, run. We've taught a lot of our young people, instead of facing the problem, run from the problem. And I want to tell you, every family will have problems. But I want to say this, everything worthwhile has problems. Nothing is easy. In an age of entitlement, we need to teach people, work through your problems. How does running from it solve anything? And I'll tell you what. When we become ungodly and selfish, it doesn't solve the problem. It may make you feel better for the moment, but the problem's still there. I never forget a man. Left his wife. Married another. And after a while left her. And he was thinking about a third one. And I finally said, do you see the problem? Could it be you? You're on 3, 4, 5. Maybe you need to look at yourself a little bit. But God said, there's only one reason to get out. So what will happen? The home will not stand unless we put Christ first. And we build on His teaching. And I want to tell you what will help a family life be saved is when we worship together. When families come together and worship and other Christians make our home stronger. And when you have family time together and you study and pray together. And when you come together and work in the local church. When you teach your children the value of a spiritual family. Don't always throw off on each side going home. I remember one young couple, one time I talked to him. And you know why their faith was so shattered? Every Sunday on the way home, they had fried preacher and fried elder for lunch. Oh, that preacher did this, that preacher did that. What do we think your kids are here? And families need to take time to spend together. Families are often too busy to be. There are times we need to have alone time. I recognize that. But there are times that we just need to spend time eating together, talking together. Spend time with your children and your grandchildren. Last night I saw some of y'all at the fair. I'm out there riding rides. At my age, I don't need to be riding, but I did it because my boys wanted to go. And when they get older, they're going to remember things like that more than they're going to remember what video game scores they have. What we need to do is see the blessing of the home. And maybe you look at your spouse and you say, that feeling is gone. Well, I'll tell you what you do to save it. Start the verb, love. Start the action. And you may not feel like doing something nice to them. And you may not feel like being nice. But I tell you, do it anyway. The feeling will come back if we do what God has said. I realize in some cases, marriages can't stand. Jesus recognized that in Matthew 19. And I realize there are some who went through the pain of divorce. And that's not to add to your burden. If someone, your spouse, had committed adultery. I realize the pain of such. I've never had that happen, but I realize that's pain. But I've had people who've been through divorce tell me, "Preacher, preach on. Because I don't want someone else to suffer like I do." And I tell you what I believe. I believe we're to do all we can to save God's divine institution. Can the home be saved? Only if you want it to be. And only if you're willing to follow the pattern of God. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel and become a child of God, we pray this morning you'll obey Jesus. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite.
Out of my life.